Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour, an editorial review, is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 80 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and editorial review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on propaganda wars when we come back. Hey, if you're earning $50,000 a year and you pay all of your 14 taxes, you get to keep about 40% of what you create and produce. The government gets 60%. Now, that's $20,000 for you and $30,000 for the government. Now, isn't that just real special? And if you think that your share isn't enough for you, then why don't you work twice as hard and produce twice as much and then make $100,000 next year? Then go ahead and pay your same 14 taxes just like you did this year. And you're going to net about 25%, and the government gets 75%. Which means that for working twice as hard and producing twice as much, you get $4,000 more dollars. That's 8% more net take-home pay than you did this year, granted and guaranteed by Congress and the IRS. That's why I contend that there ought to be something more intelligent for you and I to do than to work to put ourselves into the top 5% of income earners and then only net 25% of it. Why don't you call today and order our free general law CD package, and let me tell you how to deal with that kind of crime. It's 4 hours of entertaining information, and it answers many of your legal questions about taxes and why it is that we're paying so much and receiving so little. And let me teach you how to do just that in our Tax and Status School, which is now available on compact disc for adult home study. Now, in order for you to order that free general law CD package, why don't you call us direct? The number to call, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Or you can go to our website as georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. Just click on the email machine and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Again, georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Do it right now before you forget. Propaganda wars. Propaganda. It's called spin in Washington. Spin. I just call it lying. But the propaganda wars between the United States and the Soviet Union during the Cold War wound up in a book which is called Warriors of Disinformation, American Propaganda, Soviet Lies, and the Winning of the Cold War. Notice that the author calls it American propaganda, but Soviet lies. So American propaganda isn't lies. Evidently, that must be the truth. It kind of depends upon whose side you're on, doesn't it? Now, we have recently been bombarded by a tremendous barrage of anti-Muslim, anti-terrorist propaganda. It comes out of our own government. Do you remember Colin Powell went before the United Nations and he made the case for the Bush administration and war against Iraq? And he pointed out, you know, their missile-firing trucks and he got right down and dirty, and he said, now these are the weapons of mass destruction that these guys have got over here. He testified now before the United Nations and got the United Nations to vote for this war in Iraq. And he got all of the Americans excited about it, too. Now, the Americans aren't nearly as excited about the war in Iraq as they were back in 2003 and 4. And so, we've been lied to. And in the Bible, we find a statement that's made in Revelation 12, verse 9. It says, the whole world has been deceived. I looked at that some years ago, and I said, you know, I can believe that the Russians are deceived. I can believe that the Japanese and the Chinese are deceived, but I find it hard to believe that George Gordon can be deceived. And all of us, from our point of view in life, we take a look at the rest of the world and we have in our brains and our computers a world view. And this world view is made up of all of the sights and sounds, all of the information that has come into our minds, come into our computers by our five senses. There isn't any other way for it to get there. And so we view the world from our own unique perspective, and when we see somebody else that believes something different than we do, then our initial reaction is, well, he has to be deceived. He's wrong. I'm right. He's wrong. But when we look in the scripture says, you have been deceived. And so I looked at that and said, if that statement is true, and it says the whole world has been deceived, well, then I'm part of that whole world, so therefore I must be deceived. And I said, now, if that's true, and I have been deceived, then how have I been deceived? Who deceived me? And what do I have to do in order to get undeceived? What do I have to do to get some revelation here? So when we take a look at this war in Iraq, how did we get there? You know, today, if you were to ask people, did you vote for George Bush? They'd say, no, I didn't vote for George Bush. I can remember back in the Nixon years, or just after Nixon, the question was asked, well, did you vote for Nixon? And nobody wants to admit that they ever voted for Nixon, which makes me wonder, how did he ever become president if nobody voted for him? How did George Bush become president if nobody voted for him? See, nobody likes to admit that they made a mistake. It's not very pleasant, you know, to come back and say, gee, I voted for George Bush. God, what a mistake that was. Or, I voted for George Bush twice. I'm a double fool. Nobody wants to say that. Nobody wants to admit it. It's kind of like the story of the liar. If we were to ask you, are you a liar? Your initial reaction would be, no, I'm not. But if you said, I'm not a liar, is that the truth? So we rationalize and we say, well, I have told lies, but I'm not a liar. Well, then what is a liar? Isn't a liar somebody that has told past tense lies? So when we think about it pragmatically, and the scripture says, let God be true, though every man be found a liar. It says, every man be found a liar. If that statement is true, if that's the way things really are, then I must be a liar. So I looked at that some years ago. I walked into court, and the judge asked me if I wanted to take the oath. You know, in fact, he didn't ask me if I wanted to. He just told me, raise your right hand and repeat after me. And so I said, would it be all right if I was to raise my left hand and cock my head to the right? Or how about me raising my left foot? Would that suffice? And the judge thought I was being contemptuous, and so he threw me into jail. Then when I came back from jail, he asked me the question again. He says, now, are you gonna take this oath? And I said, well, no. If I don't take this oath, are you going to throw me back in jail? And he said, yes. And then he did. And that's twice. Brought me back a third time. He says, you going to take this oath? And I said, well, how long are you going to punish me now for my religious practices and beliefs? And he was kind of dumbfounded. He hadn't thought about religion being the basis of not taking this oath. Now, there's a scripture or two in the Bible. James 5:12 is one of them. And Matthew 5:33-37 tells us not to take an oath. It doesn't mean anything to anybody. They all take oaths anyway. There isn't anything in the Bible that means anything, and so people, they just go ahead and do whatever they think's right anyway. But does all of that add to the problem of this deception? And how did we become deceived, and who's deceiving us? And how can you tell if there's deception afoot? You know, there's an old adage, you know, how can you tell when a lawyer is lying and when he moves his lips? How can you tell when a politician is lying? Well, when he moves his lips. In other words, the lies that come out of politicians and lawyers are so pervasive that we wouldn't believe anything that they say. But, you know, if I always told you the truth, you would always know the truth. And you know something? If I always lied to you, you would always know the truth. So deception comes from the truth mixed with lies. Because if you had all of one or the other, we would have the ability then to decipher the truth. And after all, we all want to know the truth. We want to deceive everybody around us, but we want to know the truth. I want to be the only guy on the block that knows what really happened over here. And I want all the rest of you people to believe something else. And so this leads us then to this thing called belief. You know, what are your beliefs? You know, you got Catholics and they've got their beliefs. And you got Protestants and they have their beliefs. Republicans and Democrats have their beliefs. Communists and socialists. Everybody has a belief concerning something, probably everything. And the belief that you have, it comes from your perceptions of what really happened. And so I've mentioned from time to time we're talking about cross-examination, you know, last week. And I said, now, I was involved in a traffic accident, and from my perspective, where I was sitting when this accident occurred, I thought a Delta truck had hit our car. As it turned out, the Delta truck didn't hit our car. But from my perception, my belief was that it did. Now, the Delta driver, he didn't believe that his truck hit our car. And so, what happens then is that we, from our position, from where we're sitting, we experience something, and then that locks itself into our mind, and then our mind says, well, that's what happened, when in fact that isn't what happened. You know, the weapons of mass destruction didn't occur over in Iraq. We thought they did. You and I believed that there were weapons of mass destruction. Somebody told us that there were. I believed Colin Powell. I believe George Bush. I thought they were telling us the truth. I have been lied to and deceived over the years so many times that it becomes old hat. I can readily relate to this thing called deception. So I thought I would share with you the modality by which a professional organization called the United States Information Agency constantly deceives us. It's their mission in life, their job is to lie and make us believe it. So when you take a look at the 9/11 Twin Towers and that watching those towers collapse, I watched the Nova special. And then they had engineers come on, and Nova put on a special, and they explained how the towers collapsed and the whole nine yards. It was a very persuasive story. I believed the whole thing. Of course, I guess I'm pretty gullible. You know, I watch the movie, and when I got all through, I said, wow, look at that. I watched the Hindenburg. Do you remember the newsreel, you know, of the Hindenburg? And I thought that I knew the truth about the Hindenburg, and then another story came out, you know, probably 5 years ago or so, at which shows here's where the Hindenburg caught fire, and here's how the Hindenburg thing happened. And it wasn't sabotaged, and it wasn't the gas cells, and it wasn't the hydrogen that caused the problem at all. It was the fabric, and it was the aluminum particles, or the aluminum oxide, I believe it was, in the fabric and the dope that caused the electrical spark from static electricity, which was on the starboard side, and it went down the side and then up over the top of the tail. Now, the forensic evidence, you know, comes in later. And so then it tells us the truth. You know, a long time after the fact, then we get the truth of it. Now, there's a story about Korean Airlines 007. Remember that story? About how the Russians shot it down. And Larry McDonald was on the plane, and President Nixon was on the plane. He got off in Anchorage and took another plane. And Nixon didn't get killed, but the other guy, Larry McDonald, did. And this gave rise to a lot of conspiracy theories. Well, it must have been that our government killed Larry McDonald and so on. In other words, there are perceptions depending upon your political persuasions. And everybody has it. It goes on around the world. The Chinese, you know, they have their perceptions of, and the Russians do. And to this day, the Russians and the Chinese, they have their propaganda machines, and we have our propaganda machine. And both of these sides, or all of these sides in the war here, are telling us lies. And the question arises, well, how do we tell who's telling us the truth and who's lying to us? I think that's the real test. And when do we find out when these lies are being told? So in the preface, during the Cold War, the international propaganda machine of the United States government sported its own 120-piece symphony orchestra and ballroom dance band. The orchestra was said to be one of the finest in Europe. The Horst Jankowski Dance Band, headquartered in Berlin, swung with the best of them. And all this was part of the Cold War spin. Far from concert and dance halls in the mountains of Afghanistan, U.S. government media gurus were training sheep herders to be skilled TV cameramen so that they could chronicle the nightmare of Soviet military occupation. Up in the Arctic, films extolling the American way of life were carried on reindeer sleds to Laplanders. TV programs designed to incite unrest were beamed from helium balloons over Florida toward Castro's Cuba. The American government's worldwide television network carried programs proclaiming the success of a high-tech Star Wars missile test that had been secretly rigged so that it could not fail. Now, whatever worked was fair game. The U.S. government ran a full-service public relations organization, the largest organization of its kind in the world, about the size of 20 of the biggest United States commercial public relations firms combined. And its full-time professional staff of more than 10,000 people, spread out among 150 countries, burnished America's image, and it trashed the Soviet Union 2,500 hours a week with a Tower of Babel, comprised of more than 70 languages, to the tune of over $2 billion a year. It was the biggest branch of this propaganda machine, and it is called the United States Information Agency. Now, with the Cold War now over, America's prodigious international propaganda machine has been, in television lingo, fading to black. Its practitioners dwindling in numbers, and many of its programs going off the air as the result of Congress's imposed budget cutbacks. Gone now is the familiar communist enemy on which propaganda programs are focused and against those whose threat congressional funding committees were rallied. The world is now awash in a sea of information from TV satellites, video cassettes, fax machines, cellular phones, computer networks, fiber optic cables, and much more, all competing for people's attention. Government broadcast outlets are squeezed into receiving a smaller share of the available audience, and its purveyors are subjected to greater accountability by a better informed public. I got to pause right here and laugh. Listen to this. Now, here's an author writing a book on the expose of the United States Information Agency, and he says here in this paragraph, "But that's all behind us now. That's all done away with. And because we have computers and we have satellites, all of that's behind us. And so now everything that you hear must be the truth." Excuse me. Do you suppose that maybe our government now has TV satellites, video cassettes, fax machines, and cellular phones, and computer networks, and fiber optic cables, and much more, all squeezed into receiving a larger share of the available audience for propaganda purposes? I mean, after all, I watch Katie Couric, you know, just like you and everybody else, Brian Williams. Has it ever occurred to us that the CBS Evening News and that the NBC and ABC News and Fox and CNN are extensions of our government apparatus and that they're feeding us what we need to know? I just thought I'd throw that out there. It seems like, you know, we Americans, we sit over here, and I guess you Canadians and Australians, and, you know, you sit there and you watch your boob tubes and you presume that your governments are telling you the truth and that our government here in the United States is lying to us. Has it ever occurred to you that your government's lying to you also? For the express purpose of getting your hatred or getting your allegiance or getting your ire up against one group or another. Now, here in the United States, everybody is upset with Muslims. But, you know, it wasn't the case 25 years ago. I mean, we didn't have a problem with Muslims 25 years ago. There was a time when we didn't have a problem with Germans, and then all of a sudden we had this real problem with Germans. Twice. 1914 through 18, and then again about 1935 through about 1945. In other words, they focus our attention on our enemy, or the enemy that they want us to focus on. So we focused on the North Vietnamese enemy. Do you remember that during the Vietnam War? Hell, we got trade relations with them today. I was out looking around in my storeroom the other day, and I saw a bunch of cans of stuff that came from North Korea. Mushrooms from North Korea. We're buying our mushrooms from North Korea. We were fighting with them, 25 years ago. Now we're buddy-buddy. And so they direct our attention now, and now our attention is focused on the terrorists, and they're all Muslims. They weren't our problem, 25 years ago, but today they're our problem. So our governments manipulate us, is what it boils down to. So if you're a Russian, you're sitting over there in Moscow or Siberia or someplace, your government will focus your attention on how bad we Americans are. And I don't deny it. We're a bunch of bad people. I don't hide it. We've got our faults over here. But when you zero in on us and you focus on us, it really isn't the average Joe six-pack American that you ought to be concerned with. I think it's our government and our government agents, and it's our business and business people, and it's our war machine and so on that you ought to be focused on. The same way, I don't think that the average Muslim, running around in Saudi Arabia or Iran or Iraq is a real problem to us down here, the local Joe Sixpack, out in Wyoming. I think it's their government agents and agencies that are the real problem. And these governments, they get their people all psyched up against Americans, and the Americans get our people all psyched up against those people over there. And then when we go to war, the people that are doing all the psyching never go out and fight in the trenches. That's for our sons and daughters to do. It's not for the elitists. They don't go out there and fight and die. They're over here running businesses and making profit and gain off of the whole thing. Now, there are still more than 4,500 state-run global radio stations touting their own national interests and competing against one another for listeners. But around the world, people are tuning in to rapidly expanding commercial media. For the first time since it was established, the British Broadcasting Corporation's share of the domestic radio audience has fallen below 50%. People abroad now tune in local FM stereo stations, and they listen to compact discs, and they watch TV programs like Baywatch with its young hard bodies beamed in by satellite from Hollywood. The American TV quiz show Jeopardy! Is played worldwide in 65 languages. Computer hackers in Hanoi chat with counterparts around the world on their screens faster than they can telephone someone across town. Ted Turner's cable news network has even scooped, or was even scooped, by some residents in Kobe, Japan, who provided the world with live eyewitness updates on the devastating earthquake that killed more than 4,000 people in January of 1995 by way of the worldwide computer service internet. But just before it began its fade to black, the American propaganda machine enjoyed a golden age as dramatic advances in information technology made propaganda more readily transmittable by way of satellite television. In this book, I have concentrated on the period from 1982 to 88, when I was director of the U.S. Information Agency's Television and Film Service. And the two most powerful countries on earth ratcheted up the intensity of their free-for-all to psych out and to smash the other by any communicative means necessary. Leading the charge was USIA Director Charles Z. Wick, a Hollywood entrepreneur who propelled his agency into the forefront of U.S. foreign policy efforts by the sheer force of his personality and by his close personal relationship with President Ronald Reagan. Wick, former bandleader from Cleveland, Hollywood agent and movie producer, seemed a curious choice for the diplomatic position, but Ronald Reagan knew better. I thought I'd pause here for a moment. Notice here, he said this was the American propaganda machine. It enjoyed a golden age. This is the golden age of lying. I'm going to underline that. Enjoyed a golden age. What makes us think that the lying machine, the U.S. Information Agency, has ceased operations today? What makes us believe that because they don't have their own television stations, they don't have their own production facilities, that they're not using ABC and CBS and Fox News to do the very same thing? Maybe has it occurred to us that maybe their operations have expanded, become more sophisticated, and instead of competing with the commercial news or the commercial TV or the commercial radio outlets, they've simply taken them over and used them for their own purposes. I remember one time I was in jail, and this is back in the 1980s in Boise, Idaho. And I had heard through various sources that inside these jail cells, there's a microphone hidden so they can pick up all the conversations that are in there. So I thought, well, let me test this. So one night it was about 10 o'clock. Now, you know, as you're sitting in here, there's about 10 guys in this cell block. So, and we're all sitting around playing cards and having a good time, you know. And there's music being piped in. In the center of the room, there's a speaker. And that speaker is piping in music. And, you know, we're listening. I don't know where they get the music, you know, probably some radio station, I guess. But the music would be on for an hour or two, and then it would go off. And then there's just silence. And then the music would come on, it'd be on for an hour or two, and then the music would go off. Well, somebody had said to me that that microphone is up there in the ceiling, and that it records, you know, for 2 hours, it'll be recording what's being said in the cell block, and then for 2 hours, it'll be music, you know, and we're listening to music, and then it goes off, and then they're tape recording us again. And so I'd heard that and heard that, and I said, well, gee, let's make a little test of it. And so, now while the music's being piped in, you know, they can't be recording us because the music's too loud. And you can hardly hear the other guys talking. Sometimes you have to say, well, what'd you say? But when the music is off, you know, then you can hear what's going on, what other people are saying. So one night it's about 10 o'clock, a guy, he reaches over, he lights a cigarette, and so I put my finger to my lips as if, you know, to say, shh. And I said, Bob, damn it, put that marijuana cigarette out. You want to get us all into trouble? And so everybody around the table, you know, was watching me. Because I had said to these guys that I had heard that was a microphone up there in the ceiling. And then they kind of poo-pooed me, and they kind of laughed at me and made fun of me. And the next morning at 6:30, there was a team of police officers, guards. They came into our cell block. There must have been about, I guess, four officers came in there, and they just turned the place upside down. And then, of course, they found all of our contraband. They didn't find any marijuana because there wasn't any. See, the guy was lighting a Marlboro. But when I said, put that marijuana cigarette out, see, then right away, that was picked up on the microphone. How do I know that? Because we were the only cell block that was raided that morning. Now, every now and again, they'll come through and they'll have a raid, and they find your apples and bananas and all of your stash and contraband, you know. If you got too many cigarettes, they take them away from you and so on. So the next morning, when the music came back on, I said, all right, now, you guys, do you remember last night, 10 o'clock? I said, hey, Bob, put out that marijuana cigarette. And I said, now, here's my proof. Notice that they came in and they raided us, but they didn't raid any other cell block. Just us. Now, what's that tell you, boys? So the eyes and the ears of your government are listening to you, but you don't know who, and you don't know when, and you don't know where. So you have to develop a kind of a paranoid personality. You have to figure that unless you know and are reasonably certain that what you're saying isn't being monitored or what you're saying isn't being recorded, you have to presume that it is. So you don't want to say anything to anybody. You know, sometimes people will call here on the telephone. They'll say, "Hey, I haven't paid my taxes, you know, or I haven't filed for the last 5 years." And we have to get right with it and say, "Excuse me, sir, but I'm really not interested in any criminal activity that you might or might not be involved in." Now, the fact that somebody says, "I haven't filed a tax return for the last 5 years," isn't necessarily criminal. I mean, people that are 80 years old and retired for the last 15 years probably aren't filing tax returns either, and they probably aren't having income, and they probably don't need to file a tax return. But it could be that somebody might be calling me on the telephone to set me up, and they want to say, well, I haven't filed my tax return, and what that does is it makes me a co-conspirator. It makes me an accessory after the fact. Or somebody will ask me, Mr. Gordon, do you think I should file my tax returns? Do you think I should pay income tax? Kind of reminds me of Jesus. You know, some guy came up to him and says, hey, what do you think? Should we pay tribute to Caesar? Now, those kinds of leading questions are designed for the express purpose of getting people into trouble. So I thought I would mention that to you. You know, you need to be aware of the fact that government agents lie a lot, and they do this with the express purpose of setting people up so that they can prosecute them for crimes, like the governor of Alabama you saw in 60 Minutes the other day. You know, they set the guy up for the express purpose. This is Karl Rove and the Bush White House. Because this guy was a Democrat, and they couldn't defeat him at the polls because he was popular. So what they did was they set him up, and then they prosecuted him and put him in prison. And I just thought I'd point that out. You need to be aware of that, because your government is in the business of lying. In fact, they call it the golden age of spin. And when the president has a news conference, in fact, the broadcast media will use the word spin. And here's the White House spin concerning this. Or what's Hillary Clinton's campaign spin concerning Barack Obama's 11-state winning streak? It isn't Hillary Clinton's truth. It isn't the facts. It's the spin. Well, spin is simply a buzzword, a euphemism for lies. And propaganda is simply a euphemism for telling lies. And so when the Bible says the whole world has been deceived, I don't think God's whistling Dixie through a straw hat. I think we've all been deceived. Now the question is, well, can we overcome that? Hey, let me give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. If you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. That's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to the homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and that can be accessed through the website as well. Now, the Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do it 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School at 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that the authors and publications that we endorse or recommend are necessarily going to reciprocate. And that's because most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. However, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program, they're mine alone, they don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management or staff of this network, or of this local radio station. So, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, remember our website is georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we are reviewing a book written by Alvin A. Snyder. Now, he used to be the director of the television section of the United States Information Agency. He's an insider. I think he's a partisan insider. And he's going to tell us what went on at the USIA in the information spin propaganda war with the Soviet Union during the Reagan years. And the reason that I think the book is very, very timely, very, very worthwhile, is because an old military guy said to me one time, he said, "What you hear about today, you know, the technology that's going on today, is old technology. It's technology that was being used by your government 20 years ago." And I listened to the guy when he told me that, and he said, for instance, take that SR-71. See, it was developed back in 1968. And by the time it was retired in the 1990s, it had already been flying for 30 years and spying, you know, all over the world. Was a spy plane. And now it was taken out of service because it's old technology. Now you can learn about it. But you can rest assured that some new technology has taken its place that you haven't heard anything about and won't hear about for 30 years. And so by the time we hear about the technology that took the place of the SR-71, then that technology will have become old, and we're always 20 or 30 years behind the power curve. You know, Joe Sixpack and Sally Housewife, what we're experiencing today in 2008, we haven't heard about yet. They haven't revealed it. And so the surveillance that you see going on, for instance, they'll tell you, they're taking photographs, they're taking pictures of people running stop signs at busy intersections. Well, excuse me, folks, but did it ever occur to you that the pictures that they're taking at the busy intersections have something more than just giving out tickets for running red lights? But I just thought I'd throw that out there for your consideration. You see, the government always has a cover story. They're out here doing something. You know, if you're setting up cameras in a busy intersection, You can't be setting up these cameras without anybody knowing about it. And so what they do is they set the cameras up and they say, oh yeah, we're putting cameras up there. That's for the purposes of taking pictures of people that are running through red lights. Let me point something out to you here. You know, that cover story may fly, you know, with a 12-year-old Boy Scout, but I'm an old-timey driver. You see, and there's no threat from anybody running a red light. You know, let's suppose that you're driving down the street. And as you're driving down the street, the light turns yellow. And so you're faced with this problem. Should I step on the gas and get through the intersection, or should I slam on the brake and throw everybody into the windshield? I mean, this is reality. See? And so, you know, you say to yourself, I'll step on the gas and I'll run. Now, let's suppose that right at the time that you hit the intersection, just right entering the intersection, the light turns red. That's not a threat to anybody. There's never been an auto accident anywhere in the world caused by somebody racing through the intersection on the yellow light. And that's because from the other direction, everybody's already stopped. And they've been stopped there for a minute or two. So when somebody says to me they're putting cameras up at the intersections over there to catch people who are running the red lights, you know, that ought to tell anybody that isn't totally brain dead, that's not the purpose for that camera there. Now, it is true, I really don't know who put the camera there, and I don't know why it's there, and I don't know what they're doing with the information that comes from it. But I do know this, that it doesn't have anything to do with traffic safety. None. Zero. Zilch. I don't have any letters after my name, and you don't have to be a Rhodes Scholar to figure that out. Now, all over America, they're putting surveillance cameras up. Then they tell us, well, these surveillance cameras are there so that we can catch terrorists. Excuse me. When was the last time you saw a terrorist in Springfield, Missouri? Huh? And the terrorist activities that have been going on, you know, like knocking down the trade towers and that London bombing over there, those were events that were carried out by the intelligence services of the respective governments. In other words, the bombings that occurred over in London, that was carried out by MI6, and the Twin Towers caper over here, that was carried out by the CIA or other U.S. government intelligence agencies. Didn't have anything to do with Arabs, Muslims. I mean, hell, anybody that's been paying attention over the last 5 years knows that now. I don't think that the average Joe Sixpack does, but I'm talking about people, you know, have been watching the tapes and paying attention to the underground newsletters and so on. Now I've seen the other side of the story. You know, I told you I believed the Nova report when I saw it. Then when I saw the slow motion tapes of the buildings being demolished, you know, I said, oh my God. Yeah, I didn't see that on Nova. They hit first. Now, here's what happens. This guy reports, this is called Warriors of Disinformation by Alvin A. Snyder. And in the book, you know, this is old news. In other words, these propaganda wars of the 1980s, that's past tense. But the thing that makes the book so valuable is that now that the U.S. Information Agency isn't using the techniques that are now obsolete, they have replaced those with something that's newer, more modern, something that's more all-encompassing and more all-pervasive. We don't know what it is, because we won't know that until somebody writes the book in the year 2033 about the surveillance techniques of the 1990s and early 21st century. Somebody will write that book, you know, 20 or 30 years from now after you and I are all dead and buried and gone away. Now, let me tell you a little story here about the Lusitania. Back in 1915, there was a ship called the Lusitania. It was an English passenger ship. And the Germans, you know, the German government, now these people, they have spies too. You know, if you thought that the CIA is the only spy agency in the world, rest assured that the Jews have their Mossad, and their Mossad is spying here in the United States. And their Mossad is spying in Russia, and they're spying in China, and the Mossad is spying in Argentina and Brazil. They got spies all over the world. Americans have spies all over the world. The Chinese have spies all over the world. Everybody's spying on everybody else so that they can get this information. Well, the Germans are spying here in America, and they discovered that the Americans were making war material and munitions and guns for the British, and then shipping it on these passenger ships. Now, of course, when my granddad was alive in 1915, when this was going on, the official line was that America is neutral in World War I. See? And that's why we weren't involved in the war, because we're neutral. Well, the Germans, you know, they know better. They know that the Americans are active participants in World War I on the British side and have been for years. You know, 1914, 1915. No, 2 years. And so The material is being made in Indiana, and the material is coming out of war munitions plants, and these plants are making special caliber bullets and guns for the British, you know, that fit their guns. Munitions coming out of munitions factories in the United States that fit British guns. And it's being shipped on this ship, the Lusitania. Well, other ships as well, but, you know, at least that one. And so the Germans took out 5 ads in 5 major newspapers and warned Americans, now if we catch that ship, we're going to sink it, because it's carrying war material. Now, my granddad told me this story before he died in 1951. He told me this story, I was probably, you know, 9, 10 years old, about these dirty, rotten Germans, about how they sank the Lusitania, about how they killed all these Americans on this ship, an unarmed ship, and how rotten and dirty these Germans were. Now, my granddad died in 1951. Well, in 1967, which was, you know, 50 years after the event, and then the truth came out that, yes, indeed, the Lusitania was carrying munitions, and yes, the United States was involved in World War I prior to the Americans entering the war in 1917. In other words, the Americans in 1915, 16, and 17 were being lied to by our government, by Woodrow Wilson and the Wilson administration. And I'm sure they were lying to us with good intentions. We needed to be lied to because we needed our allegiance aimed at our enemies, the Germans, I guess. And so the same thing happened with the Russians, and the same thing happened with the Nazis, and the same thing happens with the Chinese communists. And so, remember how the Chinese communists during the Korean War were dirty villains? Hell, today they're our number one trading partners. And they have the concession and control over the port of Long Beach. And it's a Chinese company that runs the Panama Canal. I mean, come on. You know, the Chinese are our bosom buddies and friends, aren't they? So, I wanted to point out to you that the reality check that we need to be involved in is that what they have done to us in the past, that is, lied to us about the Lusitania, lied to us about Pearl Harbor, lied to us about 9/11. Okay, so that's part and parcel with the lies that come out of government. When can you tell if a politician is lying to you? The answer is when he moves his lips. When George Bush moves his lips, you know he's lying to you. And the same thing with Dick Cheney and Nancy Pelosi. And, you know, it isn't just with Republicans or just with Democrats. Now, they don't lie to us all the time. Sometimes President Bush tells us the truth. And sometimes Nancy Pelosi tells us the truth, and Harry Reid, and, you know, and sometimes they're lying, and sometimes they're telling the truth, and that keeps us confused and deceived 100% of the time, which fits right in with Bible prophecy. The whole world has been deceived. So as we progress along with these deceptions, let's pay attention now to the techniques that are being used. Because as technology moves forward and we get onto the internet, they're spying on our emails. They're spying on our telephone conversations. It was in 1963. See, if you can remember back, if you're an old man like I am, you can remember back to when J. Edgar Hoover used to sneak into people's apartments and houses and plant a bug in their telephones. or in the room so that they could listen to their telephone conversations. And then they would have an agent someplace in a basement somewhere where they were monitoring this wiretap, and then they were recording these conversations. You remember when they were trying to catch the mafia and so on? All right. Remember those images? All right. Well, in 1963, they came up with a new technique. They put the bug right into the telephone. Every telephone that's manufactured has a bug built into it. So, you know that cell phone that you've got? Okay. Every time you call somebody on that cell phone, every time you make a telephone call anywhere in the world, that telephone conversation is being recorded. It's recorded on computer. And the telephone company does all of it. And they don't keep those telephone conversations forever. They keep them for 30 to 60 days. And the phone company does it for its own internal purposes. That is, if you were to call London and run up a big bill on your phone, and then the phone company says, okay, you owe us $1,700, and you walk in the door and you say, no, I don't owe you because I never called London. They will pull out the phone recording and conversation. They'll play it for you. Now, don't you believe for a moment now that that's not available to the FBI or to the CIA or to any other government agency that might want it. The surveillance apparatus that is working today around the world would make J. Edgar Hoover blush. He was a piker compared to what's going on today. So they don't need to come into your house and bug your telephone. Hell, it was already bugged and has been for the last 40, 50 years. It's built right into the machine itself. And then the recording of it, hell, that's already being done automatically. So if there's a particular conversation that they want, they'll keep it. You know, if they want to use it as evidence against you or something like that. And listen, this thing of telephone bugging and conversations, thing, that's old hat. That's old technology. Hell, it's been around forever. Now, I cannot report to you what's going on today, what kind of new technology is going on today, because, see, I don't know about that. And I can only report on the old technology and what they did. I can report on the lies of Pearl Harbor. I can report on the lies of the Lusitania, the lies of the Gulf of Tonkin Resolution. So this thing of government lying to us is old hat. Hell, I've been doing that for hundreds of years. Hundreds. But the lies are becoming more pervasive and more persuasive. So what you see going on around you over there is carefully designed. You know, when you're reading your newspaper, that story is carefully crafted to formulate an opinion in your mind. When you're reading an account of the Iraq War, that is a story that is carefully composed, carefully orchestrated to create a perception in your mind. And these perceptions that are being created cause you to vote in a certain way, cause you to react in a certain way. And this is psychology, and this psychology is used against you. Now, people today are going to vote for Barack Obama, and there's a modality coming down. See, the people behind the scenes, as Disraeli once made an observation, he said, the people that are behind the scenes over here and are orchestrating world events like the Committee of 300, they have an agenda, they have a goal, they have a plan, they've got an outcome that they're working for. It's called the New World Order and world government. And so what we see going on around us today, it may look like that it's disconcerting or disconcerted, or that it's not directed at me, or I'm too smart to be manipulated like that. I don't think so. I don't think so. I can be manipulated. I have been manipulated in the past so often that I'm dizzy from it. And then sometimes it's years later that I come to a knowledge of the truth. I find out, oh my God, I was manipulated with the sinking of the Lusitania. I was manipulated with the bombing of Pearl Harbor. I was manipulated with the Gulf of Tonkin. I was manipulated by Colin Powell with his speech before the United Nations. I was manipulated by the Nova production on 9/11. See, I have been manipulated so many times in the past that I'm used to being lied to and manipulated. And so it's sometimes years later that I finally come to a knowledge of the truth. So now this gives me a bit of an edge now. Because now when I come up to the intersection, I say, okay, there are cameras here at the intersection. And these cameras are photographing my car. Here's another little piece. You ever go into Sam's? Sam's, you know, that's Walmart. And they've got a little special club called Sam's Club. You go in there. And you have to have a membership. And so every time you walk into Sam's and you with your membership card and you buy something, it's recorded. And so on your Sam's card and with the date of the purchase and with computers, they can tell you what you bought on June 17th, 2002, when you went into Sam's. At 3:33 in the afternoon, they can tell you what you bought and how much of it. Now that's the kind of surveillance that George Orwell couldn't even have imagined. I mean, you know, the book 1984 was quite a story about your thought police, you know, and about how the government's watching you. The reality of the 1984 book is so much more all-encompassing. It is so much larger than life compared to Orwell's 1984 as to defy description. I mean, who would have thought that every telephone was going to have a bug in it? That every telephone conversation worldwide is being recorded every single time and kept on computer? Who would have thought that there was a computer database someplace that would be big enough to take in all that kind of information? Who could have imagined that we would have surveillance cameras in busy intersections and in busy locations in major cities around the world, monitoring people 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? And that's just what we know about. See, we don't know about how they're monitoring us in our bedrooms and in our bathrooms or in our living rooms. See, that's technology that they haven't told us about yet and we don't know about. That's the secret technology like the SR-71 or like the U-2 spy plane. Now, we look at the U-2 and Gary Powers and we chuckle and we laugh and we say, gee, that was a spy plane and they were spying on the Russians. That's old technology. They're still spying on the Russians. And the Russians are still spying on us. But we don't know how they're doing it or what they're doing it with. Or how all-pervasive that spying technology has become, or how easy it is, or how cost-effective it is. We don't know that yet because we haven't seen that revelation. But we're going to find out what they did in the past, and then we're going to extrapolate that, and I think we're going to get a wild picture of surveillance in the future. Hey, I'm about out of time here, children. We're going to have to leave it right there and remind you that you are listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. If you'd like more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Remember, The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, just call us direct at 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Our time's up. We've got to leave it right there, so we'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.